This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
These kids are going to be adults much longer than they are kids. So if you're okay with your kids becoming exact versions of you when it comes to your poor behaviors, then continue exactly what you're doing. But if you want them to be better than you at these things, you have to get better first. Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the shift talking. Hi, and welcome to episode 13 of Shift Talking. Today is all about expectation management, and this isn't a topic that I hear people cover very often. And for me, and what the way that I really view this is massive. What I've recognized within my own relationships and also, of course, within my clients is really seeing how many of our conflicts are rooted in poor expectation management and poor expression of what those expectations are. So let's jump right in. I'm going to go over a couple different ways that expectations can, you know, lead us astray, sometimes with ourselves, in our relationships, with our kids, and general people. And then we will, of course, apply the shift framework here. Let's start with expectations of ourselves. This is sometimes viewed simply as having high standards and holding myself to these high standards. And where are these rooted and how are they actually helping you? We oftentimes set impractical expectations for ourselves, and then we fail, and then we let ourselves down, and then we feel like shit about it, and we know that we can do better, and we know that we're capable, and what are they going to be expecting of me? And it is a recipe for disaster when we are not checking and balancing the expectations that we hold ourselves to. A simple way that we could view this is when we try things for the first time. We very likely expect it to go well. We expect to be naturally good at a lot of things. And then when we actually try it, it's horrific. And for many of us, and definitely myself included, it can be so demotivating for us. It can be humiliating. It usually leads to some level of catastrophizing around whether I'm actually good enough for any of it. And the expectations that we set are typically just out of reach to begin with. They're unrealistic, they're impractical, they're unhelpful, and they're rooted in some level of perfectionism or keeping up with the people around me, the keeping up with the Joneses thing, or wanting to prove our worth somehow. And yet we allow one instance or even multiple instances to let us diminish our worth entirely. So when we're talking about expectations of ourselves, we just have to be realistic and not lower our expectations. That's what usually the pushback I get is like, oh, okay, so you just want me to lower expectations of myself and not strive for better. No, I don't want you to lower them. I want you to adjust where they should have been from the first place, right? It's not about settling for a standard that's below me. No, the standard you originally set was way unrealistic. It's off the charts. And so let's start with something that's a little bit more balanced and then adjust from there. But shooting from the stars and then learning that I'm still on land, you know, it's going to be a bummer. So that's usually the expectations for ourselves. It's really listening to what, not necessarily what it is that we want to achieve, but more so within this level of what's practical for me to achieve right now, this version of me. I have no doubt that this future version of you will be able to achieve all of these things. And this version of you doesn't have the practice. So let's get them practicing. Let's get you practicing these more simple tasks, and then we can go from there. As an example, because you know I'm going to use personal examples as much as I possibly can, I started this podcast with very high expectations that I wouldn't have any audio issues, that I will just sound super natural. I won't flub. I won't be cringy. I won't be uncomfortable. It'll just come naturally. And I expected my first episode to sound like other people's 50ths. And it doesn't, and it's not going to. And it's more so about allowing myself to just be a beginner at something. And for some reason, that feels gross to me. And so I set way too high standards for myself. I can't meet them. And then I'm just like, fuck it, forget it. And I bail out. And I lack that fortitude sometimes. And so that's what I'm working on. I am also working on my own version of the shift, right? Constantly. The fact that you're listening to episode 13 now is proof that I really am putting in the work. I'm willing to be bad at something so that then I can get good at something. And I hope that you will choose whatever your something is and do the same. So instead of applying each of these scenarios to the shift framework, we're going to be doing that all at the end because a lot of these things are going to overlap and I would rather not be repetitive for you. Next is going to be expectation management in our relationships, romantic or otherwise. And this is going to be so pivotal because what the research is showing us is that 70% of misunderstandings in relationships come from unmet expectations. So what I would want to know is how many of that 70% were unmet because they weren't shared. I live and breathe by this quote that goes, "Unexpressed expectations are premeditated resentments." And it's also where the intention doesn't match the impact, right? We, of course, don't intend to sabotage our friends or the people around us, and sometimes the impact lands that way. What I really want to drive home here with the expectations for other people is whether they are shared, and if they are shared, whether they are told. Right? There is a difference between sharing with someone what my expectations are and telling them what my expectations are. One, you know, of course, encourages collaboration and mutual respect in these types of things. And the other one is more of voluntelling that, like, this is what it is, take it or leave it. And while sometimes it can get to that point, what we can do in prevention of that is discuss what these things are. And here's how we can test whether we really do share our expectations with other people. If you have found that you didn't realize you had an expectation for someone until it wasn't met, and then you felt disappointed by them. If that's the case, if that's what's happening to you, and if it feels like it's happening often, then that really just means, one, you weren't aware of your expectations, which means we need to do some work on our self-awareness and learn where these things are coming from. And two, they can't know either because you probably didn't tell them because you weren't aware yourself. So this is where these things become a chicken or the egg thing, but regardless, it doesn't matter which one came first. They're both here. So now that we're aware of it, now we can work together to solve it and work through it. Here's an example of what oftentimes happens when couples come to me who are new in parenthood. Both have expectations from the time they learned of the pregnancy and then, of course, after, when baby does arrive. Typically, each side just assumes that the other person would just get it and follow maybe traditional gender roles or cultural expectations or whatever this may be, and then inevitably, they're failed by each other. And it causes the typical question of, what the fuck did we do? Should we really be together? Are we right for one another? Is it better to end the relationship now before baby's old enough to remember us together, right? You know, the typical catastrophizing. But that's not usually what I have couples work on. of course, that those sentiments do come up because it is just like this raw fear data that comes up in sessions. But first, we started expectations, what they had for each other, what they had for themselves, whether they realized them or not, and the fact that they didn't share them. So we go over how to talk about them, how to discover them, how to share them, how to work collaboratively and make sure that my partner is aware of the expectations that I'm looking for, and not only aware, but agrees to be held to them. Oftentimes, we get so consumed by the disappointment that we don't consider whether they knew about them at all or whether it was our job to tell them. So with these couples, what I also oftentimes hear is that like they should just know. And while I understand that to some degree, if they're missing the mark, they don't. And until you express it in a way that makes sense to them, that's not in vague generalities, and instead quite literally, hey, in the morning, this is what I'm expecting. Overnight, when I'm up breastfeeding, this is what I would like you to do. Right? It becomes more of a negotiation and a compromise as opposed to a voluntelling. So with these couples, after we dig in, I really work to help them find their voice and put words to how they're feeling. They usually go from battling over expectations to building something that works for both of them, with, of course, an awareness and acceptance that it will evolve over time. The other parts about our relationships are going to be centered around these unmet needs. And if I have this need, I'm expecting it to be fulfilled, right? Whether it's new parenting or newly into dating or just moving in together and, you know, divvying up these tasks, there's so many opportunities for missed opportunities. So let's move on to kids. And then, you know, because I tend to be a bit tangential, I might jump around a little bit. But for now, let's go into kids. We expect of our kids to behave in ways that we don't even behave. We expect them to be able to self-regulate and bite their tongue and know when it's socially appropriate to be a type of way, to remember to make their bed first thing in the morning and follow through with these tasks. And if you aren't doing these things, you cannot expect your children to. If you haven't sat down and went through their systems step by step and then also reinforced it, we're not going to get there. I think the statistic is around, on average, kids need 20 repetitions of things in order to learn. But if you incorporate play when they're learning, I think it's 6 repetitions. I will look that up. And if I'm wrong, I will, you know, figure out a way to rectify it in the show notes. But that's wild. And we expect them to be able to do these things because they come so easily to us, maybe. But if we aren't actually sitting them down and going through step by step how to apologize correctly, how to know when things are appropriate or not, how to make their bed, right? Things that are simple for us are going to be so challenging for them. And things that aren't so simple for us, like regulating ourselves, are going to be even more challenging for them because we are basically one of their only gauges of appropriate behavior. So if you don't like the way that your kids are acting, there might be some room for you to recognize that that's a blind spot of yours as well and learn together. Emotional regulation is a massive thing that we, of course, all work on. And I'm going to yell at my kids and tell them why them yelling at me isn't okay. It doesn't work, right? It's hypocritical. I don't want my kids to throw a tantrum at the grocery store, but I can do it in the car when we leave the grocery store. I'm not okay with being told no by my kids, but they are supposed to be okay with it. I don't like people voluntelling me what to do. I don't like being bossed around. It's why I work for myself, and I'm perfectly aware of that. I can't imagine kids liking that either. And then the whole argument can be that just because they don't like it doesn't mean that they don't have to do it. Sure. And these kids are going to be adults much longer than they are kids. So if you're okay with your kids becoming exact versions of you when it comes to your poor behaviors, then continue exactly what you're doing. But if you want them to be better than you at these things, you have to get better first. You have to lead by example. And instead of telling them to calm down or be quiet or whatever that is, we have to teach them how to calm down, how to understand what their emotions are telling them, how to feel that in their body and, you know, listen to what their signs are. But if you're doing that while you're red in the face yelling at your kid to calm down, what example are we showing them? We are oftentimes the people who say actions speak louder than words, yet our actions are speaking louder than our own words, even when we're shouting. So that's, of course, going to be an example around kids' behavior. I'm doing so much more content, and I'm so excited to share it with you once it's complete. I'm working on building a group for all of us to have a community about parenting and communicating with our kids about these things, managing our emotions, regulating our emotions and our nervous systems. When we get activated, when we get upset, how to break things down for kids so that they can really understand it in a new and different way. And I am just so very excited to get this completed and shared with you and hopefully connected with you as we build this community of all of us together. So I'll be sharing those things little by little as we go. And it's just so exciting. Okay, moving on to general people. This is going to be kind of general people and or just general scenarios. So I want you to think about when you get a bit road ragey. And even if it's not full-blown road rage where you're, you know, smashing windows, we're still likely like getting upset by other people while we're driving and it's affecting us internally. And is it really the other people or is it that they got in your way and your expectation was to be able to go from one destination to the next without issue? And if that was your expectation, whether you recognized it or not, that expectation is being failed and it's this fucking guy's problem because he failed me, right? We displace a lot of our frustration around these expectations and the person's problematic and so it's easy for them to take the blame, the spotlight for it. And when we're talking about our kids interrupting us or us getting upset when we're working or we're trying to complete a task, are you really upset that your kids, quote unquote, interrupted you? Or is it that you expected to be able to complete this task without interruption? You expected it to go smoothly. And if that's what's happening, we have to recognize how much we are just not paying attention to ourselves. And also how much we aren't sharing these things with our kids, with the world, with ourselves as we go. When we get really upset with our partners, because I had the expectation that I could share something without it turning into an argument, okay, well, that expectation got failed. So is it fully their defensiveness? Is it fully that this kind of broke down? Or is it because I didn't expect them to react that way? Or I expected them to react better than they did or differently. And while, of course, within those scenarios, like there are multiple truths here and there are layers to everything. Okay, I want to do a challenge here. I want you to, if you're open to it, comment either on this episode, find me on any of my socials. They're all linked in the show notes. And tell me a single scenario that you think is so simple that it wouldn't have multiple layers of upset and mistakes and opportunities for challenges. Something that is so small and petty that it is just about that one scenario. And I do believe that sometimes things are really just about what they are and the vast, vast majority are not. And so I challenge you, give me some scenarios and let me do my best to not overcomplicate it and look for things that aren't there, right? Like my job isn't to plant shit where a flower can grow. And it's about really digging in to see the layers that are contributing to each of our conflicts. Nothing means nothing. Well, rarely things mean nothing, but let's kind of do this together and we'll break it down. I can make a whole episode out of this. It can be a series. I would love to get more engagement from you and see if we can work together to challenge our perspectives, mine included. I am not an all-knowing guru, and I will never claim to be. I am constantly learning from my clients, from my kids, from the people around me, and I will not stop here with my listeners. I would love, love for us to do this together. Unmet expectations aren't just a relationship issue. They are a mental health issue too. Research from the Gottman Institute, and if you're not familiar with the Gottman Institute, they are relationship research gods. And they were able to complete some research that showed successful couples focus on clear, realistic expectations to avoid emotional flooding, which is just that overwhelming rush of feelings when things go wrong. And it kind of doesn't allow for us to think very clearly. When we fail to manage expectations, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment and stress. But when we do manage them, what we see are decreases in anxiety and depressive symptoms and an increase in life and relationship satisfaction. If you woke up each day and you knew exactly what the people around you were needing from you that day, like step by step, and you knew that for yourself as well, and that they had been checked and balanced and you agreed to be held to these expectations, how much less mental gymnastics would you be doing on a daily basis? And if you were spending any of your time wondering what other people are needing from you or wondering if they are going to show up for you in the way that you need them to show up for you, then it means that we haven't been clear enough. I know sharing your thoughts openly can feel intimidating and vulnerable and gross. And that is what makes connections thrive. If you're going to be here and shoot your shot. The other thing I want to share here is so much of this expectation that they should just know. And I fell into this trap as well. Early in my marriage, in my relationship rather, I was kind of stuck in this and expecting my relationship to follow a, you know, smoother path just because we loved each other, right? Like that if we truly loved each other, we'd just know what we each need intuitively, and that love and connection would just, should just work. If it was meant to, if we were meant to. And they don't. The disconnect between what I had hoped for and expected and what actually happened left me feeling frustrated, disappointed, questioning everything. But here's the thing, I wasn't even communicating what I wanted. I wasn't even as self-aware as I thought I was. And I didn't ask myself where these expectations are coming from, how they came to be, what I'm really looking to achieve with them. And I sure as shit didn't share them with my husband. And if I did, I did it in a passive-aggressive way or out of anger after these needs were unmet, these expectations were unmet. Or, you know, we would tit for tat. Right? Like when I express, oh, this bothers me, he would be like, well, what about? And then when he would say something, I'd be like, well, what about? And then we just meet or exceed each other's, you know, intensity levels. So in our relationships, that is what we do. If you think that your partner should just get it, or your friend or your coworker or whatever, and they aren't, and you're telling yourself that you just don't have the time to deal with it, I don't have the time to sit down and break it down for you one by one by one. I get that. And you're taking the time to tell them that you don't have the time to break it down one by one by one. You're doing it anyway. So if you're using that energy anyway, why not focus it toward getting you what you actually want and need? And then from there, once it's clear and they still fail you, then you have a leg to stand on. Let them carry the spotlight. Let them carry this problematic spotlight in center stage and you stay in the dark. Let them carry it if they are the problem. But if you think you're being clear and they are telling you that they still just don't understand what you're looking for, then you're not being clear enough. And if you need them to listen in a different way, then maybe you can be open to sharing it in a different way. Okay, so let's start applying this to the shift framework because I know plenty more will come up outside of the notes that I keep for myself. You guys all already know that shift is all about steady, intentional change, right? So let's break it down for expectation management. S is our self-awareness. So we start by asking ourselves what we truly want. What are these expectations? Are they fair? Are they rooted in reality or fear? How are we presenting them? Where did they come from? How are they being received? What modifications can we make in how we present them? Are they checked and balanced? Would we agree to be held to the same expectations? If we were giving advice to a friend, what would we tell them? When I have expectations, how do I present them to people? How do I affect the people around me? How am I affected by the people around me and their expectations, right? This is really about our internal and our external self-awareness and sitting in it, allowing ourselves to figure out where these things come from. Our H is for healing. So we do the inventory to identify times that we were disappointed by others and how we contributed. We recognize the role that we carry in our own sadness, upset, conflicts. Determine your willingness to try something different. Use any guilt or shame or ickiness that comes up in you to act in prevention for next time. Give yourself permission to assert yourself and reframe how you view modifications from feeling like you're losing to being empowered as fuck. You speaking your mind and spelling it out and telling people exactly what you want for yourself is so powerful and wonderful. And good God, I wish more of us would do this in a way that's not aggressive. Our I is for innovation. So this is finding new ways to communicate our needs. Practice assertive communication, download scripts from my website and actually use them. Work on affect labeling, schedule times to discuss challenging topics in the same way that you show up for your coaching sessions, your therapy, your work meetings, your doctor's appointments, whatever, anything that you show up to on time and or you take proactive attempts to reschedule and then show up to that on time is how you do this. Schedule this time in your calendar with yourself to do this work. With your partner, weekly, twice a week, daily, whatever this looks like, whatever works best for you, that's what we do. We adopt new strategies for regulating your emotions until that time comes. So if we are scheduling times to discuss challenging topics and we get into a conflict Monday morning and our time to talk about these things is Tuesday evening, how are we going to stay regulated without just being our own hype person and villainizing the fuck out of this other person? Another massive thing for innovation is going to be changing the way that we share things by sharing more about the objective and not just the rules. When we have expectations, we have a tendency to tell people what we need and not why we need it. So I want you to imagine yourself sitting down to a table game where you're learning a new board game and the people around you are just telling you what to do. Roll here, spin this, go this many spaces, this is what you do. And you're just like, I would love to make some moves for myself. You know, like I would like to take the initiative here. Can you, like, why are we playing? What's the objective? What's the goal? And if you are just telling people what the rules of the game are instead of why they're playing, they are going to resist. They're going to feel bossed around and told what to do. And that doesn't feel good for really any of us. If we can share more of the objective, it's going to allow for us to do this more collaboratively. It's going to force you to slow down a bit. And after you've done your S and your H, you will be able to share this more with like rich data and without anything really being a fact. Hey, I think this expectation that I have is rooted in this, and this is how I think it could benefit me. Are you open to doing this? Right? Like I shared earlier that I work for myself because I don't like being what to do. I am hypersensitive to being bossed around, right? I'm working on it. And I oftentimes will kind of bounce ideas off of my husband, and he will say things like, you know what you should do is dot, 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 or what you should do is dot, dot, dot. And I told him, your ideas aren't bad. Like I really do like your ideas. The presentation, I immediately get defensive. So I'm working on not getting defensive and really just listening to what it is that you're sharing with me and not just like how you're saying it. And could you start the way that you share these recommendations with something like, hey, you know what I think you'd benefit from is X. Hey, are you open to hearing something? I think I have a good idea. Hey, I'm wondering if you've tried XYZ, I think it might help you achieve ABC. So while I'm working on putting away my defenses, he is going to match what I'm looking for because I've made it explicitly clear how it will help me. And if he wants to be heard and be considered and, you know, of course, want to know that his solutions for me are being considered and that he's not just talking into a void, he will make those modifications. And yes, of course, we have flare-ups. Yes, of course, I still lead with too much defensiveness. And he, of course, forgets how to like not speak supernaturally. But we both know that this is a goal of ours and we can continue modifying these and give each other the benefit of the doubt and expect these things to go poorly. So now that we both know what we're working on, I still expect him to lead with more rules of the game and he still expects me to get defensive from time to time. But because a lot of that grace that we can give ourselves is because we both know what to work on and we're making it explicitly clear. A lot of the times we hear things like, don't be such a dick, right? Like we're telling people like vaguely what it is. Stop disrespecting me. I expect to be respected. Okay, well, like, what does that mean? What would that actually look like? Spell it out for me. And then from there, let me make my own moves. Let me take my own initiative. Let me come up with new and different strategies for achieving this goal. This same thing is going to go for your kids. When you are working on a new thing, when you are telling them an expectation that you have of them, share with them the objective they need to understand. And especially if you want them to be able to apply this logic and this objective in multiple different ways. What we tend to do is tell people what not to do and not what to do instead. So I record this podcast from my home office, and I have two boys, and oftentimes they are loud in the hallway, and then I have to reset and I have to re-record and all of this. And sometimes I don't mind it because I'm kind of expecting them to make noise. And other times I do mind it because I'm not expecting them to make any noise. What my knee-jerk reaction tells me to do is to open the door and be like, boys, go downstairs. You're being too loud. I'm working, right? And just like lead with the rules of the game, and likely in some level of like aggressive way. And what would be more helpful, of course, is for me to open the door and say, hey, boys, I'm recording in here. It doesn't have to be this like super foofy, like, hey, excuse me, would you mind? Like, no, you're allowed to say, hey, boys, I am working in here and what I'm doing is recording, and you've seen all of that equipment that I have, right? Right. Okay, well, when you guys are making noise out here, it gets picked up on the microphone and then I have to re-record it. And really, I'm trying to get this done so I can come and spend time with you. So the sooner I can get this done, the more quiet you are, the sooner I can come and play Mario Kart with you. So how about we do that as soon as we're done? I know that it's hard to remember to be quiet. I was a kid once too. So if it's too hard to remember to be quiet up here, if you could please go downstairs, or you can play in the backyard, be as loud as you'd like. Right? That's going to be a better solution. The absolute best solution is going to be before I come up here. Before I start recording, I go to them and say something similar and like give them the heads up. Yes, kids are resilient and they bounce back and all of that. But if you don't tell them what to do with their ick, they will store it. And we do not have any control of how they store it. So if my kids are going to be storing any ick, I want to be able to help them navigate where to place it and how to release some of it. And the same is going to go for everyone around us, ourselves included. Our F is for fortitude. Things won't always go perfectly. And I know that you're going to say like, yeah, no shit. And do you sometimes expect them to? Because I know I sure as shit do. Resilience is about learning to adapt and grow when plans change. Please expect things to go poorly and also for them to go well sometimes. Any bit is progress, and we celebrate each and every time. Fight the urge to fall back into the quote unquote, they should just know traps, and find empowerment in taking accountability for your own errors and giving grace to them for theirs. It is a superpower and oftentimes encourages the other to do the same for us. And then from there, we trial and error repeatedly. Our T is our transformation. This is where it all comes together. When we shift our approach, we create opportunities for connection, intimacy, and rebuilding. Don't shy away from conflict and embrace that they help us determine what's really important to us. We rinse and repeat, and the better we get at it, the more we transform. Again, it's not an all or nothing. It's not these unrealistic expectations. And speaking of those, our next episode is about New Year's resolutions. And it's going to be interesting. I am not a hype person for them, but we will go over how to kind of set them in more appropriate, helpful, more, you know, realistic ways. So of course, today was all about expectations. There's plenty I missed, and I will make many more episodes about expectations in general. Again, I see this constantly causing so many issues, and I would really love to kind of break this down little by little and do maybe even a series of these. So if you're at all interested in that, please let me know. I will again, of course, share with you the parental shift groups that are coming up. And also, I really just want you to know that I did not see myself running groups. I also didn't see myself ever being interested in joining groups myself. I'm super introverted. I self-identify as socially awkward. I tend not to want to do this work around anyone else or really like, you know, it's not from me. And when it comes to so much of this work, it's not enough for me to be with you one-to-one and tell you that, yes, this also happens to me too. There is so much more rich data that we can have and feel supported and seen and really just encouraged by having this with other people. In knowing that other parents are reacting poorly with their kids and feeling like absolute shit too is amazing. And it's all of these things. And this entire podcast is built around this notion that we all have so many similar issues, but we tend not to share them and we're told not to. And it's not to commiserate and it's not to kind of like fuel all of our character defects. What this is instead is to show that life is really fucking hard, especially in the dumpster fire that we're living through right now. And we need a community. And I want to build that with you. And so I hope you join us. And again, I will share details as we go. If you need anything, you know where to find me. Please visit my website. Join me as a steady friend. It's completely free. You get access to a ton of resources. We are building so many during this holiday season that we will be launching very quickly as well and adding into that whole bank of resources. And so I hope you join us. I hope you continue tuning in. Please rate and review this podcast if you're open to it. It would really help me get a wider reach and allow for, you know, my expectations to grow of myself. So I hope you remember this is all about your empowerment, one shift at a time. I'm honored that you're here with me, and I will see you next time. Stay steady.